In business, you rarely hear the expression for life. You make a purchase for a product, for a service, and there's a time frame there. Well, that's not the case with Awaken 180 weight loss. Allow me to explain. You know, a year ago, I started with Awaken 180 weight loss and had incredible success losing weight. But you can lose all the weight in the world and not keep it off. And what good is it? That's why I have support for life from Awaken 180. Yeah. I mean, I go back for check-ins and make sure everything's going smoothly. But if I ever had a problem, the counselors are there to get me back on track. Why don't you do what I did and call for a consultation? 844-346-1800. 844-346-1800. Or go to awaken180weightloss.com.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ted Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Brandon Schultz, host of the Seahawkers podcast. The podcast is dedicated to covering content related to the National Football League's Seattle Seahawks. On the program, we discuss the Seahawks' Week 8 win over the New York Giants. Also, we talk the Seahawks' offense and defense. We talk the Seahawks' next game against the Arizona Cardinals. Also, we talk Geno Smith and much more. Brandon is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
In business, you rarely hear the expression for life. You make a purchase for a product, for a service, and there's a time frame there. Well, that's not the case with Awaken 180 weight loss. Allow me to explain. You know, a year ago, I started with Awaken 180 weight loss and had incredible success losing weight. But you can lose all the weight in the world and not keep it off. And what good is it? That's why I have support for life from Awaken 180. Yeah. I mean, I go back for check-ins and make sure everything's going smoothly. But if I ever had a problem, the counselors are there to get me back on track. Why don't you do what I did and call for a consultation? 844-346-1800. 844-346-1800. Or go to awaken180weightloss.com.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people. Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
In business, you rarely hear the expression for life. You make a purchase for a product, for a service, and there's a time frame there. Well, that's not the case with Awaken 180 weight loss. Allow me to explain. You know, a year ago, I started with Awaken 180 Weight Loss and had incredible success losing weight. But you can lose all the weight in the world and not keep it off. And what good is it? That's why I have support for life from Awaken 180. Yeah. I mean, I go back for check-ins and make sure everything's going smoothly. But if I ever had a problem, the counselors are there to get me back on track. Why don't you do what I did and call for a consultation? 844-346-1800. 844-346-1800. Or go to awaken180weightloss.com.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people. Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
At Family Dollar, you'll find even more ways to save, like our digital smart coupon, including the Saturday Savings Pass. Explore our app and find additional discounts to stack savings on top of savings. Family Dollar, helping you do more.
In business, you rarely hear the expression for life. You make a purchase for a product, for a service, and there's a time frame there. Well, that's not the case with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Allow me to explain. You know, a year ago, I started with Awaken 180 Weight Loss and had incredible success losing weight. But you can lose all the weight in the world and not keep it off. And what good is it? That's why I have support for life from Awaken 180. Yeah. I mean, I go back for check-ins and make sure everything's going smoothly. But if I ever had a problem, the counselors are there to get me back on track. Why don't you do what I did and call for a consultation? 844-346-1800. 844-346-1800. Or go to awaken180weightloss.com.
Play action. Smith looking. Back of the end zone. DK Metcalf. Touchdown, Seattle. Double move. Lock it on the sideline. In for the touchdown. Walker able to reverse his field. Walker inside the 10. Barreling over tacklers. Walker dances his way for the touchdown.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and the NFL on Fox Sports. That was Kevin Kugler on the call of Week 8 in the 2022 NFL season as the Seattle Seahawks beat the New York Giants 27-13. Geno Smith threw two touchdown passes, one to DK Metcalf and the other to Tyler Lockett. And then you heard Kenneth Walker III, the rookie running back out of Michigan State, scoring a touchdown for the Seahawks. What a steal he's been so far for the Seahawks this year. To talk more about this game and also the Seahawks' next game coming up against the Arizona Cardinals, we want to welcome him back to the program. He is the host of the Seahawkers podcast, covering all things related to the Seattle Seahawks, Brandon Schultz. Brandon, welcome back to the program, my man.
Good. Thanks for having me back on. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, man. I appreciate you, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So, Brandon, give me your takeaways from the Seahawks' victory over the New York Giants.
It was a fun game to watch. This season has been fun with the Seahawks team. You see Pete Carroll on the sidelines. I want to say reinvigorated, but I don't know. He's always pretty excited. I think that he is enjoying the fact of just kind of the expectations surrounding the team, and even from Seahawks fans. Even the most optimistic, I don't think, had us pegged at 5-3 after 8 games, considering – you know, losing Russ in the offseason, just how many other – I mean, Bobby Wagner goes to the Rams in the offseason, and you bring in a lot of rookie talent, and the draft hasn't gone great for the Seahawks over these past few years. So I think the expectation level on that was even low. But what we're seeing from this class of rookies, you play the highlight from Ken Walker there. He has been outstanding, and you could tell just in this game that the Giants were intent on shutting him down. So I know we'll get into it more, but I could probably go on for just 20 minutes solo, just talking about how exciting and different, based on the early expectations, this team has been so far.
Oh, absolutely, and we're definitely going to get right into it, Brandon. I want to get into first starting off with the Seahawks offense. You heard the highlight earlier of Kenneth Walker III, the rookie running back out of Michigan State. He has had some great games for the Seahawks the last several weeks. In this game, he had 18 carries for 51 yards and a touchdown against the Giants. Just give me your thoughts on Kenneth and his play against the Giants.
It's probably not going to be long before we're talking about Ken Walker being one of the best running backs in the league. I'm already starting to hear it, even in some parts of the national media, but even just after a couple games, you could tell that this dude is special when he has his hands on the football. And you thought, if you saw that touchdown run, you saw it, because it was a run to the right side, and he decides to cut it back, doesn't have any help in terms of blockers, and makes a couple guys miss. He's actually falling down when one of the Giants defenders has a shot at tackling him. He somehow regains his balance, blows by the guy and into the end zone. And even after the game, Pete Carroll was excited because he had no expectation that Walker was going to make it into the end zone. And all of a sudden there he was, touchdown Seahawks, and that helped, you know, give them that go-ahead they needed toward the end of the fourth quarter there.
All right, and I want to get now to the wide receivers for a moment. I want to start off with Tyler Lockett. Tyler, very upset at the beginning of the game. Right around the first half, he dropped a touchdown, but he was able to redeem himself later in the game, and he made up for it, scoring a touchdown. He had 5 catches for 63 yards and a touchdown reception. Give me your thoughts on Tyler's performance in this game against the Giants.
Yeah, going into that fourth quarter, I had it figured that Tyler had cost the team about 15 points because there was a throw to the end zone where he just quite couldn't get his second foot down, which is really uncharacteristic from Tyler Lockett. They end up having to settle for a field goal. Then the Seahawks backed up into their end zone. He fumbles at the 2-yard line. The Giants score an easy 7 points. And then he has the drop going to the end zone. He's wide open. I think all Seahawks fans were already celebrating because those are just catches that Tyler Lockett makes every single time. And it goes off his face mask, and you could tell in that moment. I mean, that was the third time where he had cost the team points. And you saw Pete Carroll on the sideline. You saw Geno Smith going over to him on the sideline. And then he comes back, makes the double move, redeems himself with the touchdown, and they go ahead in the fourth quarter. So it's not often that you see things like that from Tyler because he's just so consistent. Pete Carroll, after the game, called him the best receiver that he's ever coached. And, you know, Pete Carroll's been around the league a long time. With this win, he just tied Bud Grant for all-time NFL wins, which is pretty incredible, the former Vikings head coach. So, Tyler Lockett's one of my favorite players, and it was nice to see him have that redemption at the end of the game after seeing him struggle really early on.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players as well in the league. We'll get more into Tyler a little bit later. I want to talk about the other big play receiver for the Seahawks, and that's DK Metcalf. 6 catches for 55 yards and a touchdown. Just give me your thoughts on DK and his play against the Giants.
Well, we weren't even really expecting him to play in this game after he went out in last week's game with a knee injury. He went out relatively early. They ruled him out quickly. They said it was a patellar tendon injury. And throughout the week, he didn't practice, but he was up moving around. So you knew that he was at least going to give it a try. But, as Seahawks fans, I don't think we had any expectations. So for him to go out, he had the touchdown catch. He had a couple significant first down catches on some third and longs. And so just to see him out there, I think we were happy with any production we were going to get based on some of injury questions surrounding him. So if he can be healthy, if he can kind of get right now with the Seahawks bye week coming up here in just a couple weeks, Tyler and DK, this is why Geno has been able to have some of the success that he's had this year. I mean, obviously it takes a lot of the accuracy that he's been able to show, but between DK, Tyler, and then Marquise Goodwin, who Geno's developed some chemistry with, and he had a drop in this game as well, unfortunately. But, those three guys, it's been a nice set of weapons for Geno Smith.
All right, and you mentioned the other weapon, Marquise Goodwin. Marquise has a reputation of being one of the fastest, not just receivers, but one of the fastest players in the NFL. He had 4 catches for 33 yards. Give me your thoughts on Marquise and his play.
Yeah, and sometimes with the guys that are really fast in the NFL, the reason why they end up washing out, especially, it's a little bit surprising in terms of the amount of time that he's spent in the NFL longevity-wise, because, I don't know, sometimes the fast guys can't catch, right? And that's a problem when you're playing the wide receiver spot. It's kind of a big component of the position. And really, it was seeing that drop in the end zone, it was unexpected from him, because we saw some incredible catches from him the week before, and when DK went out and he filled in really nicely. So yeah, as far as being that third guy, he's been one of the nicer free agent acquisitions the Seahawks made this offseason.
All right, we'll get more back into the offense in just a little bit. I want to go on the defensive side. The leading tackler was Michael Jackson. He had 7 tackles in this game. He's been an unsung hero on the defensive side for Seattle so far this year. Give me your thoughts on MJ and his play against the Giants.
The reason why he had so many tackles is because the Giants were not throwing the way of Tariq Woolen. I think he only had 4 targets on the day, and he was the 5th round pick by the Seahawks. He has 4 interceptions on the year. They weren't testing him a whole lot, so they were throwing a lot at Mike Jackson. I think it was 11 targets on the day by Daniel Jones, and a lot of short passes. And so one of the things that I loved about watching Jackson in the preseason especially is if you throw some of those short dump-off passes and he's got 5 yards and ahead of steam, he is going to take you out. And that's what we saw from Jackson in this game against the Giants. It played right into his strength, I think. I think he struggles maybe to cover some of the guys with speed. And so he was in really good position to make those tackles, and really he made the most of it throughout the day.
All right. Well, speaking of making the most out of what he does at his position, Uchenna Nwosu, he was a solid defender during his time with the Los Angeles Chargers. Now with Seattle, he made his presence felt against the Giants. He had 2 sacks in his game. Give me your thoughts on Uchenna and his play.
Yeah, 2 sacks on the day. He led the team in sacks. He led the team in pressures. He was covering Saquon Barkley down the sideline and got a pass breakup there. Gosh, he had 6 stops on the day, which led the team by far. I think Ryan Neal had 4. And that guy, when you talk about free agent acquisitions in the offseason, Mike Jackson was nice. Marquise Goodwin was nice. Uchenna Nwosu has been incredible. And this guy is making a run at the Pro Bowl based on what he's been able to do with the Seahawks this year. Week after week, he is the guy who is leading the stat sheet in so many different categories. So, I mean, I'm not even surprised to see him at the top when it comes to, quarterback pressures and stops and all those sorts of numbers that pass rushers tend to have. And to have that coverage ability, too, for running backs, I mean, he's been a pleasant surprise. I mean, I know that watching him, especially toward the end of the year and even, I think, in the playoff game with the Chargers, that he had some nice plays, but my expectations were not – he's easily exceeding expectations so far.
All right, and I want to talk about a couple of more players on the defensive side. Cody Barton, Puna Ford, and Boye Mafe, they all had sacks in this game. Just give me your thoughts on their play against the Giants.
Cody Barton's probably falling into the sweet spot in terms of the number of snaps that he's getting, because he's been the linebacker, the middle linebacker opposite Jordan Brooks. And we've seen when he gets a lot of snaps, we see some rough plays from him. He did have the sack. He had a pass breakup late in the game. It was probably one of his better games. Boye Mafe, the rookie, second-round pick, the guy who they took before Ken Walker in the second round of the draft, he's been a nice piece as far as the rookies go. And because a part of it is they really struggled to stop the run through the first 4 weeks of the season. And so elevating his number of snaps, I think it's helped them a bit more. And so there really was a question going into this game is, would the Seahawks be able to stop the run, especially with Saquon Barkley tearing it up this year, with Daniel Jones being a really solid component of that Giants run game. And it was because, you know, guys like Jordan Brooks, Cody Barton, and Boye Mafe, and we mentioned Nwosu, those guys helped shut it down. Puna Ford, another guy who in the middle that I think we've seen, once they made a shift from being more of a two-gap style defensive line in those first four games to what they've done more traditionally in the past, we've seen Puna Ford show up a whole lot more, and we got to see some pressure from him late in the game. And, he ended up getting the sack too, right? So also a big help in the run with Puna Ford. And, yeah, it's a good group of defenders. We had some high expectations, I think, for the defense going into the season. It was the offense to where there were maybe some lower expectations, but a lot of that was due to the uncertainty around quarterback, obviously.
Really so, and let's get to the quarterback position. Geno Smith, man, he's taken a lot of people by surprise so far in this young NFL season. Geno came in and put up some solid numbers in this game against the Giants, completed 23 out of 34 passes for 212 yards and two touchdown passes. Give me your thoughts on Geno and his play against the Giants.
Well, and those numbers probably don't even explain the whole situation because of the dropped passes. You saw we talked about the Tyler Lockett catch in the end zone where he only gets 1 foot down and his toes are just slightly out of bounds. If he picks up that's another touchdown throw and 20 yards on the stat sheet. The one to Goodwin was probably another 20-plus yard throw to the end zone where he would have had a touchdown. Now, I think they were able to get another touchdown off, so that wouldn't have counted in the touchdown column. But he probably would have had four touchdowns on the day then if Tyler Lockett doesn't have that ball go off his face mask too, and that's another 30-yard touchdown. So, you know, if you add all those up, I think even DK may have had a drop in there at some point. Add up those more uncharacteristic drops, and we're looking at closer to a 300-yard performance and four touchdowns by Geno. And really that's how it felt to me, just based on the command of the offense that he had. His center went down early in the game. They didn't even seem to skip a beat there. So we've seen Geno overcome a lot of adversity, and even within this game that – you know, there are questions that we've kind of set up each and every week of, can Geno do X? Can he do Y? And then he answers those questions, and then, you know, we go into another game, and we see in one like this where, yeah, a target as consistent as Tyler ends up, you know, costing the team in some big moments. You have the chemistry that he's developed with Marquise Goodwin, and he has a drop, and we haven't seen Geno get flustered by it at all. And he easily could have in this game, and he didn't. And he came back and he throws a dime to Tyler Lockett. They close it out with thanks to a couple of turnovers on special teams by the Giants that set him up for an easy score there in the fourth quarter too. But he took advantage of the opportunities. He didn't get frustrated, and he's gone from a guy where we had questions about early on in this season to now having Seahawks fans saying, well, shoot, do we even need to draft a quarterback with these picks that we traded Russell Wilson for? Or spend those on the defense? Do we spend them at other places on the offense? And do we ride with Geno for the next 2-3 years and see if we get kind of a Rich Gannon stretch from him over the next couple of years? And I'm kind of leaning that way too.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that way, too. It seems like Geno's really taking a big step in his career. I want to stay with Geno for a moment. In your opinion, Brandon, what are the chances of Geno possibly winning Comeback Player of the Year?
I think there's a good chance of it. I know Saquon is in that category as well. But, I mean, if the Seahawks, if they're making the playoffs, we're already seeing the shift now from Brian Daboll being considered as Coach of the Year. And now that Pete Carroll and Daboll have matched up together, Pete Carroll got the best of him. So now we're starting to hear Pete Carroll being talked about as potential Coach of the Year. And so if they continue rolling with this, you could see those types of awards start to stack for the Seahawks, whether it's Pete Carroll, obviously with the trade, you could consider General Manager John Schneider for the Executive of the Year, and then Geno could easily be Comeback Player of the Year with this kind of performance. Because we're looking at a Pro Bowl-type performance just through what we've seen here now through 8 weeks.
All right, I want to stay again with Geno for a moment. What's the relationship like in terms of football with Geno along with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf? Is the relationship strong now than it is when Russell was the quarterback? What's the dynamic like with among those three?
Yeah, I think it's good because obviously they've been working together throughout the years. DK was, going to bat even when people are kind of crushing Drew Lock a little bit in the off season. So I think DK is just a good teammate in that way that he'll go to bat for guys. But I think that, we even saw some comments last year after Russ came back, maybe a little bit too early, from DK that, I think that there was some chemistry developing between Geno and DK and that maybe there was that. I think he wanted to see Geno hang in there a little bit more while Russ recovered from his injury, his broken finger that he suffered against the Rams last year. And, DK, he has the opportunity this offseason, whether or not to sign a contract or not. And he decided to sign and stay with Seattle knowing that, Russ had left and that Geno was coming back. So I think that relationship is there. Tyler obviously sticking around for the long haul too and just a good locker room guy. I feel like Tyler would get along with everybody. So, and the cool thing is that after the Giants game last night, Geno going out to the podium for his press conference after Pete Carroll, he brought DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett to the podium with him to do the press conference with the three of them all taking questions. So I've never seen that with any of the quarterbacks during any time in Seattle. And so for Geno to bring them out, I have to think that relationship's pretty special. And part of it, too, I think just goes to the adversity they had to overcome with injuries this week, even just to make it into the game. And I think Geno, being the leader on the team, wanted to recognize that.
Yeah, that's always fun when you have your receivers come up there on the press conference, which goes to show you the confidence that they have in one another, especially when you have that relationship between quarterback and wide receiver. One more question about Geno before we move along. In your opinion, Brandon, what has been the biggest difference so far between the Geno era and the Russell era?
The biggest difference is we see what this offense looks like when it operates on schedule. Geno has the command of the offense to where he's dropping back and he's knowing where to go with the football, can go through all the progressions, can see the field in a way that he can take advantage of. And I think it's just a philosophical thing too. Geno is good with just getting those 3-4 yards, completing the easy pass, and then, taking his chances when they're available. Whereas what we were seeing with Russ, especially in the last 2, 3, 4 years, is that a lot of times he would pass up the easy throws to look downfield to make the big splash plays. And, it's a way to do it. It obviously led to double-digit wins every single season except for the last season when he was injured. But you are able to see there's just a tempo that you start to see. The run game works a little bit better. The defense stays off the field. And I think that's where we ran into some issues defensively the last couple of years, where they just the offense was not staying on the field long enough and sustaining long drives. And Geno's been able to do that. He's been able to lead the team on those long drives. And unfortunately, that with Russ, they didn't have that as much. But, you know, like I said, it's the trade-off between those long, consistent drives and those big plays that, you know, really get you up out of your chair.
All right, and definitely it's a long season ahead of us, so hopefully Geno can continue with the leadership skills and running the offense, as you said, very consistently. And speaking of consistent, so far so good for Pete Carroll, you made the argument about him possibly being winning head coach of the year. So far, again, Seattle's above 500 right now. Give me your thoughts on Pete and his performance so far this season.
Yeah, the thing with Pete is that he's always been this guy. So he might be at a disadvantage when it comes to winning coach of the year, because this is who he is. You know, he knows how he wants to play football. He wants to play defense. He wants to run the football. You're starting to see teams that run the football having a lot more success. I feel like in the NFL that maybe that's a little bit cyclical. He's in the position now where it's working real well for him, and he knows it, and he's kind of at the point to where he's heard enough from the critics to say, hey, see, this works. You didn't think I could do it. And so that's been – whether or not he wins Coach of the Year or not, it's been fun hearing from Pete. Just because he knows how to play football and he knows how to coach football. And so maybe with this this group of young players, obviously it doesn't hurt that they knocked it out of the park with the draft class, and, you know, mixing in some new pieces as well. It's just been refreshing, I think, to see Pete have a little bit of fun with it this year.
What's his I know that his relationship with Russell was one that, you know, he gave him the keys to the car, but that kind of went sideways towards the end. How would you compare his relationship with Russell as opposed to his relationship with Geno?
I think with Pete and the quarterback, he values the communication piece to it. One of the things that we've seen, too, with Geno, it started off kind of at a similar trajectory, even when you go back to Russ's rookie season, to where they don't test him a whole lot early on, and it's kind of a progression. And so we saw through the first couple of weeks that the calls were relatively conservative when it came to Geno, but then you hit probably week three or four, and just the way that he's been able to protect the football and not turn it over, that's really important to Pete Carroll. And so, in terms of relationship between Pete and Russ versus Pete and Geno, I don't really see any difference other than that you just see them the communication is as good as it was with Russ as it is now with Geno, and that's really cool to see. And you know, I think maybe Geno's operating on the same page as far as how Pete wants the offense run. The offensive coordinator wants the offense run. And so that's leading to maybe a little bit more success that we're seeing on the offense. Because we didn't expect an upgrade once Russ left. And I feel like that's what we're getting now through the first 8 weeks.
All right, let's move along now to the Seahawks' next opponent, the division rival Arizona Cardinals in the NFC West. First off, the Seahawks' defense. On the offensive side for Arizona, we know about Kyler Murray, also a DeAndre Hopkins in the latest addition, which is Robbie Anderson, and at the tight end position, Zach Ertz. In your opinion, Brandon, what are the keys to victory for the Seahawks' defense to stop Arizona's offense?
It really comes down to stopping DeAndre Hopkins to me, because that was one component that we missed when we faced the Arizona Cardinals just a couple weeks ago. And yeah, it's been just a couple weeks since the Seahawks faced off against Arizona. Now they're going down there. They're doing it again. For whatever reason, that place has been a disaster for the Seahawks, especially when it comes to injuries. So I'd like to see the team just make it through this game healthy. But yeah, in terms of the weapons, the one matchup that I really want to see is the rookie Tariq Woolen going up against DeAndre Hopkins, because if you can take out Hopkins is what really slows down Kyler Murray. I know we faced off against, you know, Benjamin and the running game, and it made – that was the first game where we saw the Seahawks defense stop a run game of the opponent consistently, but it was, you know, Benjamin in the backfield. Now, they slowed down Kyler Murray a little bit, but some of his scrambles that led to some big plays for Arizona, so you do have to be careful about that too. I'm a little bit worried that Arizona's starting to use Rondale Moore a little bit, and that just the way that he can break some tackles, that matchup between Moore and Kobe Bryant. There wasn't much there when we saw that a couple weeks ago, but based off his last game, that could be something to be concerned about too. Yeah, the main thing, I'll go back to it again, stopping DeAndre Hopkins. That guy is just, he's so good, and he's really, I think, what makes that Arizona Cardinals offense run.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is very electric on the offensive side for Arizona. Let's switch over to the other side of the ball, Seattle's offense. I mean, Geno Smith, Kenneth Walker, of course, DK and Tyler, they're doing their part. What do you think are going to be the keys to victory for Seattle's offense to get points against the Cardinals' defense?
Yeah, can they handle that Arizona Cardinals defensive line better this time than they did just a couple weeks ago? I think we saw the offensive line really struggle with some of the stunts that they were doing, some of the looks that they were giving them on defense. And that doesn't go back to that just a couple weeks ago. That goes back even a couple seasons with the way that Arizona Cardinals, they're really able to run their defense. And so even though there's no real standout players that you feel like you have to be concerned about, they mix it up so well that it can be tough on the offensive line, especially with two rookie tackles. And who knows what the other injury situations is going to be with the offensive line. DK and Tyler, they were relatively shut down against the Cardinals a couple weeks back. They really relied on their tight end, the run game being another part of it. So I'd like to see Ken Walker have another big day. And are the Cardinals now going to look a little bit different on defense, trying to stop Walker versus what I thought they did more of in the previous matchup, was focus on stopping Tyler and DK. So how the offense handles that particular shift, that's what I'm going to be watching.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He's Brandon Schultz, the host of the Seahawkers podcast, dedicated to anything and everything related to the Seattle Seahawks. Brandon, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to just tell everybody what the Seahawkers podcast is all about.
Yeah, we do 5 shows a week. It's a good variety of shows. We're doing post-game reaction shows. We do another show where we get into depth on really particular plays following each and every game. And, you know, we have a betting show that's focused on the Seahawks this year. So we've ended a preview show that we look at, you know, some of the questions surrounding the upcoming matchup. And then we have our main show, me, Adam Emmerich, that we've done now going into our 10th season. And that's been a lot of fun, where we recap the game, look ahead to the other game, and we try and have a lot of fun with that show too. So there, if you're a Seahawks fan and you're looking for a lot of Seahawks talk throughout the week, we've got it for you at the Seahawkers podcast, and you can come and join us, SeahawkersPodcast.com.
Awesome. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as the Seahawkers podcast and any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
Yeah, you can find me out on Twitter at Seahawkers Pod. And then if you want to subscribe to the show, you know, anywhere where you get your podcasts, or you can go to SeahawkersPodcast.com/subscribe and then click on whatever your favorite app is, and it'll usually take you to where you can find the show. Or, you know, if you can just search the App Store on your phone, too, we have our own dedicated Seahawkers Podcast app. So if you just look for Seahawkers or Seahawks Podcast, you can usually find it in the App Store, too.
Before I let you go, Brandon, football and food go hand in hand. So whenever you're in the Pacific Northwest and you have an opportunity to catch Seahawks games, what are some of the foods that you enjoy eating at Seahawks games?
This is a good question. I just had a friend of mine go out to Seattle, and so I was pointing out a couple different places. If you're in the Pike Place Market area, one of my favorite spots to go is Beecher's, and they make the best mac and cheese. And so what I recommend to people, whoever's going to a game, you go down to Pike Place Market before the game. You can just get a single cup of mac and cheese, and it is so rich, it will usually carry you through the entire game, because, you know, some of us don't want to pay those the prices inside the stadium. You get your breakfast mac and cheese, and you get they make a really good breadstick that you can dip in it too. It'll last you the whole game. And then I always go to, there's a place called Pizza Professional, just there, just north of the stadium, and that's my go-to place for pizza after the game. So, yeah, those are a couple of my go-to spots.
Awesome. You heard it from him. He's Brandon Schultz, host of the Seahawkers Podcast, which is dedicated to covering the NFL's Seattle Seahawks. Anything and everything you want to know about the Seahawks. Brandon, again, thank you so much. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate the invite.
You're welcome, my man, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Play action. Smith looking. Back of the end zone. DK Metcalf, touchdown Seattle. Double move. Lockett on the sideline. In for the touchdown. Walker able to reverse his field. Walker inside the 10. Barreling over tacklers. Walker dances his way for the touchdown.
In business, you rarely hear the expression, for life. You make a purchase for a product, for a service, and there's a time frame there. Well, that's not the case with Awaken 180 weight loss. Allow me to explain. You know, a year ago, I started with Awaken 180 weight loss and had incredible success losing weight. But you can lose all the weight in the world and not keep it off. And what good is it? That's why I have support for life from Awaken 180. Yeah. I mean, I go back for check-ins and make sure everything's going smoothly. But if I ever had a problem, the counselors are there to get me back on track. Why don't you do what I did and call for a consultation? 844-346-1800. 844-346-1800. Or go to awaken180weightloss.com.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
In business, you rarely hear the expression, for life. You make a purchase for a product, for a service, and there's a time frame there. Well, that's not the case with Awaken 180 weight loss. Allow me to explain. You know, a year ago, I started with Awaken 180 weight loss and had incredible success losing weight. But you can lose all the weight in the world and not keep it off. And what good is it? That's why I have support for life from Awaken 180. Yeah. I mean, I go back for check-ins and make sure everything's going smoothly. But if I ever had a problem, the counselors are there to get me back on track. Why don't you do what I did and call for a consultation? 844-346-1800. 844-346-1800 or go to awaken180weightloss.com.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
In business, you rarely hear the expression for life. You make a purchase for a product, for a service, and there's a time frame there. Well, that's not the case with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Allow me to explain. You know, a year ago, I started with Awaken 180 Weight Loss and had incredible success losing weight. But you can lose all the weight in the world and not keep it off. And what good is it? That's why I have support for life from Awaken 180. Yeah. I mean, I go back for check-ins and make sure everything's going smoothly. But if I ever had a problem, the counselors are there to get me back on track. Why don't you do what I did and call for a consultation? 844-346-1800. 844-346-1800 or go to awaken180weightloss.com. In business, you rarely hear the expression for life. You make a purchase for a product, for a service, and there's a time frame there. Well, that's not the case with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Allow me to explain. You know, a year ago, I started with Awaken 180 Weight Loss and had incredible success losing weight. But you can lose all the weight in the world and not keep it off. And what good is it? That's why I have support for life from Awaken 180. Yeah. I mean, I go back for check-ins and make sure everything's going smoothly. But if I ever had a problem, the counselors are there to get me back on track. Why don't you do what I did and call for a consultation? 844-346-1800. 844-346-1800 or go to awaken180weightloss.com.
Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people. Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
All right, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of the Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Brandon Schultz, host of the Seahawkers podcast. The podcast is dedicated to covering content related to the National Football League, Seattle Seahawks. Once again, a big special thank you to Brandon. And until next time, remember, put God first in everything you do and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
In business, you rarely hear the expression for life. You make a purchase for a product, for a service, and there's a time frame there. Well, that's not the case with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Allow me to explain. You know, a year ago, I started with Awaken 180 Weight Loss and had incredible success losing weight. But you can lose all the weight in the world and not keep it off. And what good is it? That's why I have support for life from Awaken 180. Yeah. I mean, I go back for check-ins and make sure everything's going smoothly. But if I ever had a problem, the counselors are there to get me back on track. Why don't you do what I did and call for a consultation? 844-346-1800. 844-346-1800 or go to awaken180weightloss.com.